So the question is, how does one create, build, and protect and multiply your wealth in a global interconnected economy where change is happening rapidly and constantly, and financial markets are rigged to benefit financial institutions and enrich corporate insiders? I've made it my mission to uncover how you can create, protect, and multiply your wealth in any economy, and have interviewed the top investors and wealth experts for over 3 years. I share what I've learned from them and continue to learn on my journey. I'm MC Lobsher, and this is Cashflow Investing Secrets. MC Lobsher, and thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Cashflow Investing Secrets podcast. This is, of course, the show where cash is not king. Cashflow is king. Everything Cashflow Ninja is available at cashflowninja.com. That's the center of the Cashflow Ninja universe. If you haven't subscribed to our newsletter, you could do so at cashflowninja.com. You'd be crazy not to. I am delivering golden nuggets to your inbox on a weekly basis that'll help you build wealth in reset times. I've gotten great feedback from the emails from folks that are on our list. Appreciate you all, and thank you so much for sharing that feedback with me. If you know someone, by the way, that could find value from what we share at Cashflow Ninja, please share it with family, friends, coworkers, and your network. And if you haven't grabbed a copy of my book, The 21 Best Cashflow Ninjas, you can do so at cashflowninja.com or on Amazon. When you grab a copy of the book, please screenshot a proof of your purchase and send it to my team at info@cashflowninja.com, and we'll give you access to an audio version of the book, a digital version of the book, a curated library sharing interviews of Cashflow Ninjas discussing niches in the book, and more bonus goodies. In today's show, I want to talk about who economic sanctions hurt, and also how you can prepare. So economic sanctions is when a group of countries or the majority of countries take action against a specific country and essentially boycott them and essentially stop trading relationships with them, stop doing business in that particular country, and allowing that country to be plugged into international systems. The goal is to isolate that country, to eventually destabilize it, to make the environment inside that country very, very, very uncomfortable, so that the leaders of that country will either change a stance or a policy that they have, or eventually it could become so bad that you would have civil unrest, which could lead to a color revolution, which could lead to a change of a regime in that country. I've experienced sanctions firsthand. I grew up in South Africa. South Africa was sanctioned by the entire world. So it was interesting. The South African government during that time was sanctioned because of the policy of apartheid and their policies of racial discrimination. So there was a lot of corporations that wouldn't do business in South Africa. There was a lot of trade partnerships or relationships that they could not pursue or have, and they were essentially isolated. You just think of from a cultural standpoint too, they were boycotted out of all international events and sporting events such as the Olympics and so forth. So they were essentially isolated. Now, there could be countries that could become self-reliant and I guess independent because they're forced to, and they get creative and they find out ways to not need the things that they previously needed from the outside world. And there's some countries that do that. I mean, look at North Korea. They're still surviving in some way, shape or form. South Africa, I would say the apartheid government in South Africa was able to accomplish that in some way. They were self-reliant. They found ways to, to do the things themselves and produce the things themselves that they were aligned to from the outside world. And then also the other angle then is, you know, the total, I would say, well, the total disruption of a country, the total, chaotic environment that eventually leads to their leaders caving to the demands of the world or eventually end up in their overthrow. So that's essentially the two ways they could go. But that's the goal of it all, right? So we are living now during a time where Russia just invaded the Ukraine and the international community is punishing Russia with sanctions. Now, the first set of sanctions is very severe, that will have very, very severe consequences for every single person on the planet. And that was when the US government and their European allies froze or seized foreign reserves to the amount of $300 billion of the Russian government. So to put that into context, the US government and their allies in Europe seized and basically stole $300 billion in foreign reserves of a sovereign country without due process, no rule of law whatsoever. And of course, the US dollar being the reserve currency in the world, most countries are looking at that going, wow, why would I hold dollars if it can be seized, frozen, and stolen just like that? Will I reduce my dollar holdings? Why would I want to do that? If you're in the gray zone or you're walking on a thin line or skating on thin ice with the U.S. government and with their allies, why would you want to accumulate U.S. dollar reserves if it can just be taken from you like that? So that's going to lead you to look at other sources or forms of foreign reserves, which is what we're seeing happening already. The second part of those sanctions was to ban Russia from the SWIFT system, which is a payment settlement system used globally. Now, Russia and China has already used the SIPS payment system, which is a different option to SWIFT. So they already had something else in place, but essentially it is banning them out from SWIFT, which is used by the majority in the world and especially used by the West, and which has given the West the upper hand from a monetary standpoint with relation to countries in the East, such as Russia and China. The third one is corporations pulled out, Visa and MasterCard. Obviously, they have a similar source called UnionPay, similar corporation that could just step in and pick up all the business that Visa and MasterCard has just left on the table for them. And then we also had countries going after Russian oligarchs. Now, Russian oligarchs are the wealthiest men and families in Russia that became very, very wealthy during the fall of the Soviet Union. Now, there's a lot of ways that Russian oligarchs became Russian oligarchs, not all on the up and up. It's never been on the up and up. We've known this, I don't know, for 30 years. But now that Russia has invaded the Ukraine, they're actually going after oligarchs. These oligarchs were allowed to enter any country. Their capital was welcome. Some of them bought soccer teams, the biggest real estate buildings in a lot of major European cities, yachts, major yachts in marinas and of beach towns and cities all across Europe. But now all of a sudden they're going after them. And of course, the average Russian citizen was punished, whereby a lot of Russian citizens couldn't access their crypto accounts. And then it was just seized and basically frozen too. So there was some severe steps taken. Now, Russia, of course, is one of the most resourced rich countries on the face of the planet. majority of oil and gas that Europe uses comes out of Russia. The majority of wheat that Europe uses, I think 25% of the world's wheat's coming out of Russia. And then there's, of course, a lot of other commodities coming out of Russia that is used in things like fertilizer, creating fertilizer, which is used in farming all over the world. So if your food's grown, you would have needed fertilizer to grow that food. Well, the majority of the components of it comes out of Russia. So you've essentially tried to isolate and boycott one of the most resource-rich countries on the face of the planet. And there is a huge demand for the commodities and goods that comes out of Russia. So what are countries now forced to do since they have been kicked out of SWIFT and basically been isolated from the Western financial system? Well, they have to leverage their own financial system. SIPS is already there for trading between them and China. And then UnionPay is an alternative to Visa and MasterCard. But essentially, countries are now looking at this going, well, we would like to do business with Russia. We need the commodities coming out of there. How do we do it? It actually put them in a position of strength because they can now call the shots. Yes, we'll do an oil and gas deal with you. Yes, we'll trade these certain commodities. But here are the terms, because it's essentially going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt us. We'll find another market for our commodities and for our goods and services. Just look at the size of China and all the other BRIC countries, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. We'll find another market for this if you don't take this. So now we've seen India already are agreeing that they will trade oil and gas in Russian rubles. We've now also seen that Russia has come out and said that unfriendly countries will have to pay for oil and gas and other commodities in either gold or Russian rubles. So the majority of all these countries that still want Russian goods and services are now, guess what, playing by the rules of the Russians, and capital is now moving out of the Western financial system, the SWIFT, and moving in towards and into the Eastern system. And as capital flows from West to East, the power is moving from West to East. So this sanctions here, if you want to break it down, who does sanctions really, really hurt in the long run? Well, all of the people all over the world's going to get hurt. You know, the initial shockwave in Russia hurt the Russian people a lot. Look at the Russian ruble. Look at the Russian stock market. It was just absolutely crushed. They had to halt trading. Inside of the country, there was chaos. I'm sure there were shortages of goods and services. There was a lot of uncertainty, a lot of panic, a lot of chaos, a lot of disruption. And look at all these Russian citizens who had their crypto accounts frozen. And essentially the cryptos on there were stolen, right? Russians suffered. Absolutely. The citizens suffered. And now let's look at the rest of the world. Well, the rest of the world, all of the citizens, all the people, citizens of every country and people all over the world, they're going to suffer too because of the Russian sanctions. Because now all of a sudden, all these things that the rest of the world, the commodities and the goods and services that they got from Russia, is no longer going to be received at the rate of consistency that it was. Well, we've already had supply chain issues. What do you think this is going to do to it? Of course, this is putting rocket fuel on the fire of this crisis of supply chain issues, which is going to lead to the shortages of goods and services all over the world. You're going to see shortages. Food shortages, especially because, as I mentioned, 25% of the world's wheat comes out of Russia, and then also a lot of the commodities used in manufacturing fertilizer or creating fertilizer comes out of Russia, which is need to grow all the food. So you're going to have massive, massive food shortages all over the world. It's the effects will be felt everywhere. And then, of course, we're living in an economic environment globally where all these countries printed all this units of currency. They don't even have to print it anymore. It's all digital. They just created digital. And now you have a enormous amount of additional currency units in every single country with fewer goods and services, actually a shortage of it. What do you think that does to the price of goods and services in your country? Well, it's going through the roof. Everything is going up in price. We've seen especially commodity prices just absolutely skyrocketing, mooning, as our folks in the crypto space would say. What do you think that does to the life of the average person around the world in every single country that doesn't even live in Russia? Well, their cost of living is just going up exponentially. So it's leading to enormous price inflation. And price inflation is the inflation, which is the inflation in goods and services that you need to survive, rent, clothes, and food. So the average person all over the world is seeing their the cost of everything skyrocketing. They're going to see shortages of everything skyrocketing. And of course, this is going to lead to some societal and civil unrest all over the world in countries where some people couldn't even probably find Russia on a map. So everybody's going to be hurt by this. You know, let's just bring it back to the financial part again. Russia, which is one of the biggest producers of commodities on the planet, well, has a lot of foreign investment. Where do you think a lot of that foreign investment ends up, or in Russian investments end up? Well, you'd be surprised to know that they end up in pension funds all over the world, whether it be private or public pension funds. And we've already seen, if you do a little bit of research online, we've already seen, like, for example, the Kentucky Teachers Pension Fund getting a black eye with this Russian sanctions because they had a very large part of their pension had an allocation in Russian investments. So financially, everybody's going to get hurt. The entire world's going to get rocked by this. And then on a you and me level, a human level at the street, we're going to see the impact of this in our daily lives, regardless of where you find yourself on the planet. So who does sanctions hurt in the end, especially sanctions of the scale that has just been put on Russia? It hurts everyone. Nobody gets out of this without a scratch or without a black eye. Every single person is going to feel the pain of this in one shape or form. And of course, I shared in previous episodes too that this crisis that we're in and that we've been in since September of 2019 is a series of events that will be stacked upon one another that will compound and eventually capitulate to a massive event, which everybody will then point to and say, oh boy, we have a crisis. So there's already been a lot of events that have started since September of 2019, and this Russian sanctions is just another event to stack upon all these events that we've already seen that just adds fuel to this fire that is the crisis. And eventually, it's going to be too big to control. And when it becomes uncontrollable, we're gonna see the majority of the world burn in this next crisis. So everybody is hurt by this, will feel the effects by this. How do you prepare for this? Well, to take care of yourself, your family, your business, and your investments, realize that food shortages, it's coming. The president of the United States just confirmed that it's going to be ugly and food shortages are coming. It's now not a secret anymore. all the world leaders are saying the same thing now, essentially after the president of the United States just blurted that out. I didn't know if he was supposed to or not supposed to, but he did mention it. So prepare for food shortages. So get everything that you need. I know if you're listening to the show, you've been prepared for a while. You have enough food. You have enough emergency food, and you have enough of everything that you need to take care of yourself and your family. Things that you use on a daily basis, soap, toothpaste. We take those things for granted, but when you run out of them, you definitely feel the effects, right? Razor blades is another one that you could throw in there. Water is your second thing that you need. You need a supply of water. You need water filtration systems and so forth. And then, of course, you need generators in case there are power outages and electrical grids go down. And then from a business standpoint, yeah, you're going to have shortages. If you have a business where you have physical products, you need to look into setting up a plan to make sure that you have enough inventory to continue your business, because you're going to run into shortages. You are absolutely going to do that. And from your investment standpoint, well, we cover that in all the time at the Cashflow Ninja. We cover that from an inflation standpoint, which we're seeing will continue. We have shared the simplified portfolio of cash, metals, your cash flow portfolio, and your growth area. We continue to discuss how you can position yourself for inflation. Hard assets is obviously key for that. You need hard assets. You need metals. You need commodities. You need land. You need real estate. And of course, in the event of a wild card, you also need to protect yourself for a deflationary impact. That's why we have cash. That's why we have cash in the simplified portfolio. So we are preparing for anything and everything with regards to that. So those will be some of the solutions to this that I will share. All of us will feel the impact of these sanctions and continue to feel it. And you're really going to feel it 3 months from now and 6 months from now. That is baked into this cake. That is irreversible at this point. So if you need to do things with regards to taking care of yourself and your family for food, take care of it right now. If you need to do things with regards to taking care of you and your family with regards to water, take care of that right now. The same thing with generators and powers. The same thing with regards to your business and with your investments. One of the things that I will also add to some of the solutions is have the things in place that you need to protect yourself and your family and your home too. There is someone that I follow. He's got an incredible platform on Viking preparedness, Pastor Joe Fox. He has got a fantastic platform sharing a lot of these survivalist and prepper kind of strategies. And he talks about it all the time. He said there are two things that it will be your biggest threats in the coming months. And he continues to harp on it. And he says, going hungry and people behaving badly. And guess what? When people go hungry, the probability and the likelihood of them behaving badly increases exponentially. So be prepared for that as well. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. Subscribe to our newsletter at cashflowninja.com/subscribe. And if you haven't grabbed a copy of this book that gives you a ton of ideas of how to set up diversified income streams, it's called The 21 Best Cashflow Niches. You can do so at cashflowninja.com or on Amazon. And when you do, screenshot a proof of your purchase and send it to my team at info@cashflowninja.com, and we'll give you access to the bonus goodies, which is a digital version and audio version of the book, a curated library of interviews of ninjas discussing the niches inside of the book, and more bonus goodies. Until next time, live infinitely. If you are interested in learning more about cash flow investing, I have compiled the 21 best cash flow investing strategies I have come across studying millionaires and billionaires for 2 decades and interviewing over 500 successful investors and wealth experts. You can grab the 21 cash flow investing strategy secrets at 21cashflowinvestingsecrets.com. That's 21, the number, cashflowinvestingsecrets.com.